The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Friday, July 17th edition of The Ride Home. It feels like this week has been going
on
for about 5 months.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know, but I agree with you. I feel like it's been very lengthy.
We are broadcasting from our spare rooms. Maybe that's part of it, is that I feel as though I never leave the house.
Listen, so, I've been working in this room, in this silly little spare room, since about 10 this morning.
Yep.
Well, like, I've been out to, like, get a drink, and that's it. What is happening?
Just how it is. Happy to have a job, but the commute is very strange indeed.
It really
is. You got big plans for the weekend? You're going to go out? You're going to go to a concert? Going to go to a movie? Uh-huh. Anything like that?
Well, all the things I love to do, John. You know, I love to go out to eat, and you know I love live music.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do none of those things.
None of those.
No, thank you for asking.
Yeah, my kids are asking, hey, you know, because I'm the activities director here at the house.
Are you?
Are you? Yeah.
Yes, I am the same.
Yeah, for years, you know, it sort of
Why did both of us end up in that role?
I don't know. I mean, I don't mind it. I kind of enjoyed it, actually, because, you know, you're out floating around. You think, okay, we could do this, we could do that. But now as the activities director, there are very few activities, right?
Yeah.
What I've become is sort of like the guy who goes, well, you know what? For this weekend, we need to do some painting around the house here. I've got that scheduled.
Right.
It's time to cut the grass again, of course, guys. You know that. And they roll their eyes like all of a sudden I'm like the dictator.
Right.
So I've gone from, you know, Captain Fun to the guy who's, you know, bringing down the hammer. What the heck?
That's the story of just being a parent, is you start out being the fun one, and then you end up just being pain in the neck.
Yeah, I'm sinking in the polls here, even as we speak.
Yeah, I'm sinking in
truly
the polls.
Truly, I am, yeah.
That's okay. I still vote for you, John.
Thank you, I appreciate
it. I'm still loyal.
Okay, so everyone's thinking about future plans, right? Things to do in the future, because for the near future, we're all sort of sitting at home. So I saw this today in the PG. The mini boat experience is coming to Pittsburgh somewhere in the unforeseen future.
Wait, I'm going to float mini boats?
Well, it's a floating cinema with mini boats.
Oh, I'm going to be in a boat.
Exactly.
Oh.
Coming to Pittsburgh sometime in the fall. This organization is called Beyond Cinema. It's an Australian-based company. They're bringing floating cinemas to an unknown location. You're going to bring boats to an unknown location for 5 days.
I hope the location has water.
Yeah, me too. Sometime starting September 16th, part of a nationwide launch in select cities, which apparently Pittsburgh is part of.
Okay, now wait. Is this a for sure thing, or are they just like canvassing to see if there's interest?
Okay, so as I'm reading the article, they say, you know, you can register here. I went to the link. No such link.
No, so you can't register.
Because
I kind of like this idea.
Yeah. So here's the deal.
So we could go down to the river,
mm-hmm.
and my hub and I, no, we're not going to go to the river.
Unknown location. I don't think it's the river.
Okay. Right? Well, what if it was the river? That would be a fun place.
I would be leery of being on a little rowboat in the middle of the river.
Is it a rowboat?
Well, it looks like a little rowboat. Here. The cinema will be made up of 12 to 24 mini boats. Mini boats that can hold up to 8 people.
Okay, it's not a rowboat if it has 8 people in it.
Maybe it's a larger rowboat, right?
I feel like it's going to be nicer than a rowboat.
Moviegoers must rent the entire boat to ensure that groups are seated with friends and family.
Okay.
Movie lineup is yet to be announced. There'll be a mix of golden oldies and new releases. I don't think so. Popcorn will be free. Those who are interested can pre-register, but I went there, like I said, it's not happening. The Immersive Cinema, see, that's kind of a little play on words there because it's in water. The Immersive Cinema Company is also bringing the floating boats to St. Louis, Houston, Chicago, Miami, Orlando, New York, Austin, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Columbus, Cincinnati, as well as three cities in Canada. The first event starts September 9th in St. Louis. Ticket prices not available.
That's a long way away. Can't we get this moving a little faster?
Well, September 16th is the date for Pittsburgh.
I think that would be fun. Don't you want to do that, John?
No, I really don't.
Why? No.
Well, I don't like the idea of sitting in a boat with seven other people for a few hours. First of all, the seat's probably hard.
Why? Because you're going to get the COVIDs.
The water. I mean, it just seems like an awful lot.
Don't get crabby.
Crabby. I'm not crabby. I'm just saying I think most likely I'd stay home.
Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. You've been home for like 4.5 months. Yeah. Mike, will you go with me? Go with me under the boat thing where we can watch a movie?
In a heartbeat.
Yes, in a heartbeat.
I think that would be so much fun.
Exactly. It'd be super fun. Yeah.
Mike, he just bought a new house. He's got some work to do, so he's not going anywhere either.
He needs a night out, and I am a fun person, and we would have a good time.
All right. So you, Mike, and six other people, count me out. All right?
That's sad, Mike. We're going to have to come up with friends.
Yeah.
It's too bad, John.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It is. That's okay. We'll post about it on social media, make ourselves look as good as possible, and make you feel badly.
12 to 24 mini boats. I'd like to see.
Would you go, John, if they were playing your favorite movie?
I don't think so. The idea.
He's crabby, Mike.
You know, probably they're going to play like water-themed movies. Like you'll go sit in a little rowboat and watch Titanic. Waterworld. Titanic.
Listen, if we're watching Titanic, Mike, I'm not going.
Yeah, right? Me too.
It'll be stuff like that. And what if you're going to do you ever go to the little, like the pontoon boats at Kennywood?
Yeah.
You know, you're doing that's this kinda with dumb. Your feet.
Those aren't the pontoon boats. Those are the paddle boats.
The paddle boats.
Yeah, right.
Whatever. Like they give you like a half an hour.
That's dumb.
As soon as you get in there with your kid, I'm starting to look at my watch going, okay, I got 27 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm counting down. Yeah. So the idea of watching it like an entire 2-hour movie, I don't think so.
But you're not in a paddle boat. You're in some other fun boat. Mm. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm holding out a lot of hope. I have optimism for this event.
Right, I do too.
I'm very excited. The described mini boat, whatever the mini boat is.
All right. Mike and I going out in the mini boat.
I'm excited.
What's our date? September what?
September 16th.
It's the day after my birthday. All right.
It's the day before your birthday. We'll bring Alicia and Eric, but we can't bring Dr. J because we don't want him to drown.
No, we can't do that. Okay. No.
You going to wear your mask in the mini boat?
I don't, Mike, you sit at the other end, so I don't have to wear my mask.
Forget it. That's not six feet. Is it okay?
No, it's going to be, it's mini, but it's not miniature.
No, can we bring our own boats?
No.
Oh, I don't think so. All of a sudden, what, Mike, now that you bought a house, now you're going to buy a boat.
Yeah. You're going to rent a boat.
It's a buying spree.
Rent a kayak.
All of a sudden, he's like hopped up on buying.
I mean, where in Pittsburgh would they do this other than the rivers? Where in Pittsburgh?
Well, there are a lot of lakes around the area, but they wouldn't be in Pittsburgh.
All right. I guess so. You could go to Keystone.
Anyway, it doesn't matter because you're not coming.
No, it doesn't matter. I really don't care.
We're looking forward to a terrific Friday program today.
Friday.
With two of our most popular features. One is the Week in Review, which happens in the 5 o'clock hour, and one is This or That, which happens at 4:25 today. A couple other highlights. We're going to be checking in on Tim Keller, recently diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and undergoing treatment. We're going to talk to his wife, Kath, who is a native Pittsburgher and has been a great friend of our show, as Tim has as well. We'll talk to Kathy about how they're both surviving all this, what treatments are like, and how we can best pray for Tim and Kathy and all the Kellers. And coming up next, Larry Elder's with us, the sage from South Central, the single most popular LA talk radio program in, I don't know, since the 90s. He's got a brand new movie out that is going to ruffle some feathers. I can't wait to hear more about it. Larry Elder coming up next. It's the Friday edition of The Ride Home. By the way, your weekend's begun.
Oh, the weekend.
.5 WORD
Turning Point with David Jeremiah.
heaven is a magnificent place created by the creator of all creation. The creator of creativity has saved his best work until the last. And he is creating for us a place that is so phenomenal that I'm just so overwhelmed. We don't talk about it more.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. Next time on Turning Point.
This evening at 7:30 on 101.5 WORD.
We're all thinking a lot more about staying safe these days. Windows R Us Pittsburgh is no different. When it comes to working around your home, Windows R Us remains committed to the safety of you and your family. For roofs, gutters, and downspouts, siding, and of course, windows, Windows R Us Pittsburgh can answer the call. With over 50 years of home remodeling experience, Windows R Us has earned its reputation as the area's premier exterior replacement company. And all work will be done in strict compliance with the government's social distancing guidelines. If you've had damage, you may be eligible for a free repair or replacement. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of the highly trained appraisers. You'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry from a company that will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty. Why pay double? Trust the area's premier exterior replacement company, WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
This is the story they don't want you to see, told by people they don't want you to hear, at a time when so many desperately need to hear it. This is the story of Uncle Tom.
Most people are completely oblivious to the history of the Democratic Party.
The party of slavery.
The history of the Democratic Party.
Jim Crow laws.
They're erasing all of the history of this country.
They want to cover up history.
The real history, not the revisionist history.
If you are educated.
Black people have been taught
a narrative that has been created.
You're actually miseducated.
And that's when I realized I've been lied to.
I had been misled.
It unraveled everything that I knew to be true.
Story: Larry Elder, Candace Owens, Herman Cain, Brandon Tatum. Hear their stories of how their life was changed when they finally figured out the truth. Go to UncleTom.com. Buy it now on pay-per-view and use promo code HUGH for 20% off. UncleTom.com. Promo code HUGH. This is their story of redemption and hope.
Can an evening of inspiration and music really save the lives of families in the Caribbean and Latin America?
Experts report that starvation might soon become famine in many of the communities where access to food has been cut off.
Join Food for the Poor Thursday, August 13th at 7 p.m. Eastern for a virtual national celebration, We Are One. You'll experience the power of unity to save the lives of families impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic.
RSVP today for this free event at foodforthepoor.com/one. foodforthepoor.com/ONE.
We're excited to welcome Larry Elder back to the program, the sage from South Central. Larry Elder has hosted the longest running afternoon drive time radio show in LA, beginning in March of 1994. The Larry Elder Show engages political and cultural leaders in meaningful debates over race, government, personal responsibility, and education, a blend of what he calls fiscal conservative and social liberal with attitude. Larry Elder's limited government personal responsibility views fuel controversy and make him one of the most in-demand radio personalities in the country. Larry's the author of the best-selling book, The 10 Things You Can't Say in America, and producer of the brand new film, Uncle Tom, An Oral History of the American Black Conservative. Larry Elder, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. But can I just say, whenever you give me an introduction like that, and you guys always do that, now what? How am I supposed to live up to that?
Listen, if anyone's going to live up to it, I think it's you.
Oh, wait. No, we can also add you were recently nominated to the Radio Hall of Fame, right?
Oh, that's right.
Now, I know you. More importantly, you guys know I used to live in Cleveland for 17 years.
Oh, my God.
I'm from L.A. And I'm back in L.A. Hold on. Moved to Cleveland in 1977. This Steelers-Browns rivalry, I'm trying to figure it out. I don't really care. You guys kick our butts. And next year, I don't really care. You guys kick our butts. And the third year, and then pretty soon, I start caring. And I'm going to have to deal with Bradshaw and Lambert and Ham and Stallworth and Lynn Swan and your coach. After a while, it's just, I'm still, every time you ask me to come on, I go, okay, Larry, remember.
That's tough.
You're living in LA.
I imagine being a Cleveland Browns fan. That's a long road of suffering.
Breathe in.
Breathe in. You know, that's the team.
Breathe in. Yes.
So, you know, you have to suck it up and live with it.
And so Mike told me just breathe. And so I'm working on that. We're breathing in. All right. Thank you.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for being with us here. You know, I've been reading like you do every day. Or you're online. You're looking at, you know, papers and, you know, all that whole thing. And what I read is, you know, especially, you know, here we are right now in a racial reconciliation sort of time. I read about microaggressions, about colonization, about injustice. I read these words and I wonder, is that real or is this a media-driven thing? Because in my conversations, you know, with the rest of the world, microaggressions and colonization doesn't come up. But maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm out of the loop.
You know, John, if we could develop a vaccine to get rid of white guilt and get rid of white racism, the question is, would the problems we have in America still remain? Would 70% of black kids still be born outside of wedlock? And forget about elder. Obama said a kid raised without a father is 5 times more likely to be poor and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 20 times more likely to end up in jail. Will we still have a 50% dropout rate in many of our urban schools, and those who do graduate can't even read, write, and compute without at grade level and therefore have to go in remedial education when they go to a community college or a four-year school? Will we still have 25% of young black urban boys with criminal records, and by that I mean either having been arrested, in jail, on parole, or on probation? If the answer to those questions is yes, then what are we talking about here? And there's never been a time in America where race has been more insignificant a factor into success. And I tell you something. One of the things I talk about in my film, Uncle Tom, which is available on UncleTom.com, is about Obama and how when he came into office, I think the person they thought they were hiring was the guy I saw in 60 Minutes when he was a senator. And he was not yet front runner, but he was gaining on Hillary. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put him on. And he's sitting there, and Steve Cross turns to this guy and says, "Senator Obama, if you don't win, will it be because of racism?" Now, I'm sitting home by myself, and I sat back and I said, let me see what this man says. Because if he answers the way he should answer, this could inspire the country. I won't vote for him. I don't vote for tax spin, regulate, Roe v. Wade type people, but at least he'll put the country in the right way as far as this notion that somehow racism holds you back in America. And he said, "No, if I don't get the nomination, it will be because I have failed to articulate a vision that the American people can embrace." And I said, "Hallelujah." The man won with 52% of the vote, got a higher percentage of the white vote than John Kerry. And when he walked into the Oval Office before he'd done anything, his approval rating had gone up to 70%. Now, how does that happen? People who didn't vote for him still pulled for him because they wanted him to bring us together. What did he do? The Cambridge police acted stupidly. If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. Embrace Black Lives Matter. Al Sharpton visits the White House some 80 times. And by the time he left, the one of the major organizations of the police were so furious at him, they wrote a scathing letter. He knew better because he wouldn't have had the cashews to run. This is a guy named Obama from Hawaii. And he goes to Chicago, and he knocks off an incumbent state senator, and then he becomes a U.S. senator, and then he, without even knowing where the bathroom run, is recruited to run for president, knocks off Hillary, beats John McCain, beats Mitt Romney, and he truly believes that racism is in our DNA, which he said after he got elected. Before he got elected, he gave a speech at a black church. He was talking about how much racism was in America. Mm-hmm. It's online. And he said, "You know, the MLK generation, the Moses generation got us 90% of the way there." And John and Kathy, I'll tell you why I thought that was reasonable. There was a 2002 poll, Fox Opinion poll. 8% of Americans believe, quote, "there is a chance Elvis is alive," close quote. So maybe there's 2% you can get to. I write off that 8%. I don't know about you, but I write them off. He said, He said, "My generation, the Joshua generation, have to get us that additional 10%. That's before he got elected, let alone reelected. Obama, the human being, knows damn well that race is no longer a major factor in America. Otherwise, he wouldn't have run. His whole life has been charmed. His whole life has been devoid of anybody going after him because of racism. Mom has a PhD in anthropology, father a PhD in economics, raised by his white grandparents. Grandpa is a successful salesman. His mom is a grandmother is a VP of a bank. He goes to Occidental. He goes to Columbia. He goes to Harvard. He goes to Sidley and Austin, a major law firm where he meets Michelle. Where has his life been impacted by racism? Give it to me. He knows that he's not telling the truth. He's worked hard. He's stayed steady. And that's the key to success.
Now, Larry, but by saying that race doesn't matter in America, that runs completely and totally different to the narrative that we're being told every day.
I know it is. And the Democrats want black people to believe that racism remains a major problem in America because they need black people to be thinking about racism and social justice as opposed to schools, crime. Am I being educated properly enough to be competitive in school? The way everybody else thinks about everything else. They want black people to think of themselves as victims, and they've done a really good job at it.
But, you know, when you do see the cop with his knee on George Floyd's neck, killing George Floyd, you have to know, right, that there is something in that cop, whether it's in the whole police force or just that cop, that racism is alive and well.
What do you call a cop who brutalizes a black suspect? Racist. What do you call a cop who brutalizes a white suspect? A bad cop. How about this man being a bad cop? I have no idea whether what he did had to do with George Floyd's race. He shouldn't have done it. Nobody approves it. I don't know a single cop who said, yep, that's how we do it. That's how it rolls. So what are we talking about here? The only question is, what would be the level of punishment? But there's no disagreement that what happened to George Floyd was wrong. But don't give me this business about this being an example of microcosm of how cops behave, because the stats do not bear that out. There's a black Harvard economist named Roland Fryer who just assumed that cops were brutalizing black people. He was surprised nobody done a study of it. His name is Roland Fryer. He did a study and said, my findings were the most surprising of my career. Not only were blacks not being brutalized, cops were more reluctant, more hesitant to pull the trigger on a black suspect than on a white suspect. Same results were replicated in a big study of every shooting and killing 2015-2016, published in a publication put out by the National Academy of Sciences. No evidence whatsoever of any kind of trend. Furthermore, it's not like the government hasn't been interested in this issue. Ever since the 90s, there's been something called the Police Public Contact Survey, where the DOJ asked 60,000, not a small survey, 60,000 Americans, did you have a contact with the police last year? If the answer is yes, what was your contact like? What was the cop like? What was he or she said to you? Were you physically touched? Were you harmed? No pattern of abuse whatsoever. 2013, during the Obama administration, they looked at something called race and traffic stops, put out by the National Institutes of Justice, which is the research arm of the DOJ, to find out whether or not there's any kind of a pattern. And 75% of black motorists admit they were stopped for legitimate reason. And it turns out you name the offense, whether it was speeding, driving without a license, driving without a seatbelt on, driving without the appropriate car seat in the back. You name the offense, a black motorist is more likely to do it. This has happened over and think about it. If what I said was wrong, where are the lawsuits? We got a bunch of civil rights lawyers around here. You get treble damages if you, by the way, you sue under the civil rights codes. Where are all the class action lawsuits about all of this pattern of police abuse if it allegedly occurs? Ever since probably 20 years ago, every cop in LAPD has to write down the race of the person that they stop. Never before did they have to do that. Cops didn't want to, but the ACLU demanded it, and they caved, and they did it. Now what? They got all this data. What are you doing with it? Where is it? It doesn't tell you why the cop pulled the person over at all. They've got all this data. Where are the class action lawsuits? Because the data do not prove the thesis. The thesis is the cops are misbehaving because of black people, because of racism. Nonsense. I'm in L.A. L.A.'s LAPD represents exactly the racial demographic of the city. The city is about 40% Hispanic. So is the LAPD. 30% white. So is the LAPD. 9% black. So is the LAPD. The rest Asian American, Pacific Islanders. So is the LAPD. PD. And from 1992 to 2002, we had back-to-back black police chiefs, including during the O.J. Simpson case. Willie Williams, he puts out a study during the trial whether anybody in the department did anything wrong with the evidence. Anybody fabricate anything? No. Put out the study. Nobody cared. So all of this stuff out in the streets, I have no idea what it is, but I'm just telling you, it's not about police brutality because the numbers do not show it whatsoever. And it's getting people kill. Cops are pulling back. Bad guys know it. And young men, black men, are unduly confrontational. Why wouldn't you be if you've been told the cops are going to mistreat you when they pull you over? Why wouldn't you be defensive? So instead of cooperating, as my mother and father told me, these kids are not doing it.
Larry Elder's with us. He's the longest running talk show host in Los Angeles. He's got a brand new film out. It's called Uncle Tom, An Oral History of the American Black Conservative. So, Larry, we're about to see a major reckoning here in the United States of America. People are talking actively about reparations. There's been major changes that are about to take place in defunding the police. You're saying a lot of this is unnecessary and it's not even real.
Beyond unnecessary, it's counterproductive. Why didn't Obama push for reparations when he was in office? Why didn't people demand it? Obama gave an interview nearer the time he was leaving office, and he was asked about this. He said it would be too divisive. It would be too difficult to figure out who's owed what, and he's right. Reparations, in my opinion, is the extraction of money from people who were never slave owners to be given to people who were never slaves. And one of my colleagues at Salem Radio, Michael Medved, I can't take credit for this, said there are only 5% of white people who have any sort of, quote, generational connection, close quote, to slavery, either raised in the South, owned slaves, didn't fight in the North, or people, many white people who came here after 1865 had nothing whatever to do with slavery. So when you really look at it, you're talking about 5%. And by the way, why should Republicans pay a dime? Democrats were the party of slavery. One of the founding principles of the Democratic Party was to preserve slavery. They were the party of slavery. They were the ones who voted against the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the 15th Amendment. And as a percentage of the civil votes, they voted less for the Civil Rights Act of 64 than Republicans did. They were the party of Jim Crow. Why should Republicans pay a dime?
Amen to that. Hey, Larry, people want to talk about Uncle Tom. They want to go see the film. Tell us where to go.
UncleTom.com. Real easy, just UncleTom.com. Also, the DVD is available. And be the first in your hood to get some Uncle Tom merch, a T-shirt, a cap.
I like it.
All right, that's Larry Elder, the sage from South Central, author of the best-selling book, The 10 Things You Can't Say in America, and producer of the new film, Uncle Tom, An Oral History of the American Black Conservative. Larry, thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure, Larry. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure. Anytime, guys. Bye.
UncleTom.com, Larry Elder. He's nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame. Take a quick break. Come back. We're going to talk about, it's this or that. It's our weekly Friday feature, this or that. Kath and I have 10 things we pull out for each other. It's either this thing or that thing. That's next on The Ride Home.
First Presbyterian Church is a beacon of light and love to this community.
The message that I hear sustains me for the whole week.
I love this church because of the diversity and the music and the people.
The incredible beauty of the space.
A warm, welcoming congregation.
The people are amazing and truly love one another and Christ, and our pastor preaches the gospel.
I want everybody in Pittsburgh to come and experience.
First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, in the heart of the city, with the city in its heart.
You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to my listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Specials. You're going to see some amazing offers. Right now, MyPillow is offering an exclusive radio special. Today, we're offering buy one, get one free on a variety of amazing products, including the Supima MyPillows, MyPillow Towels, Roll and Go Anywhere Pillows, Duvet Covers, Giza Pillowcase, Bolster Pillows, and Neck Pillows. Plus, if you buy Mike Lindell's book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO, you'll get free shipping and a $25 gift card. Just go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code WORD, or call 800-391-0954. Be sure to use promo code WORD. MyPillow is answering the call for more face masks as the country continues to deal with a global coronavirus pandemic. They'll be making face masks for hospitals across the country.
Hi, I'm John Henney from Henney Jewelers. Since 1887, my family has helped people celebrate the most memorable moments in their lives. We are rooted in faith and commit to doing the right thing again and again. We believe in the covenant of marriage and use our To Have and To Hold program to encourage couples as they prepare to spend the rest of their lives together. Please stop into our Shadyside store to learn more or visit HenneyJewelers.com. Henney Jewelers, your jewelers for life.
Finding the right type of care for your loved one can be a highly emotional decision. Moving your loved one to a nursing home, rehab center, or independent care may not be necessary. XL Home Care can provide a warm, family-like environment with an XL caregiver, or you may even qualify to get paid to take care of the ones you love. To learn more, call 412-212-8950, 412-212-8950. Excel Home Care, a help at home company.
Looking for an easier way to find your next job? It's time to get to know Express Employment Professionals. Visit expresspros.com to find one of over 830 locations to help support your workforce needs.
101.5 WORD-FM Pittsburgh. On your smart speaker by saying, play the word, Pittsburgh. And on your phone via the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and at radio.com.
Partial clouds for tonight, low 66. Sunny, hot, and humid on Saturday. High tomorrow, 92. Saturday night, cloudy and humid, low 71. Sunday, partial sun. Watch for a thunderstorm in the afternoon. High 92. Monday, variable clouds with a shower or thunderstorm. Humid with a high 90. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
Both Kath and I have 10 categories of this or that. It's basically one thing or another. It doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. We're just choosing one thing or another. It's kind of fun. Maybe a little peek into our personality, but that's about as deep as it goes. This or that. Kath, would you like to go or would you like me to go?
I feel like I'd like to go first, John.
All right, fine. So, this or that.
Because I mentioned peeking into your personality.
All right.
I don't know if you noticed that it's going to be hot this weekend.
I'm acutely aware of that. Thank you.
Have you noticed how hot it's going to be?
I believe tomorrow's 94.
Uh-huh. Okay, so the heat is forming the theme for my this or that.
Okay, very nice. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to begin with this.
All right.
Smoldering charcoal or a ghost pepper?
Smoldering charcoal.
Oh, okay. A trip to Death Valley or a bowl of chili?
A trip to Death Valley.
A cigarette or August 1st at your house with no air conditioning?
I'm staying here. August 1st at my house with no AC.
Okay. And not, no cigarette.
No, no. Forget that, Ziggy.
Number four.
Yeah.
Overflowing candle wax, John, or the top of your radiator at the conclusion of an eight-hour car trip?
Overflowing radiator.
Okay. Number five. Electric eel or lava lamp?
Oh, lava lamp. I'm going retro. Yeah.
Riding a bike on the equator or a summer afternoon at the Clairton Coke Works?
I would love to ride a bike on the equator. I'll be happy to go there.
On the little red, the little dash and dot line.
Yeah. Right there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A bonfire or magma?
Well, I like magma. I think it's pretty interesting.
Mikey likes magma.
I would like to, you know, get as close to magma as I possibly can, just okay. For a few seconds.
All right, good. Yeah. The steam, John, that comes pouring out of the popcorn pot as soon as you take it off the stove, the expulsion of volcanic ash.
Again, I'm pro-volcano.
Okay.
Boom, I like that. It's very fascinating.
Okay. Number nine, a day in the jungle or a day in the desert?
Oh, a day in the jungle.
Number 10, a quasar or biting into a Stouffer's French bread pizza right out of the toaster oven?
Oh man, I have done that. I can't tell you how many times I've burnt my lips, burnt the top of my mouth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can do that now because I've learned, you know, to just relax a little bit. I'm doing the Stouffer's French bread.
Are you still?
That's right. Okay. I have to. Sure. Yeah.
And though this is number 11, yeah. I'm continuing on because it's a bonus for today.
Okay. Thank you.
John, the hottest hydrothermal vent in the Pacific Ocean, which is 764 degrees Fahrenheit, or pouring boiling water on your hand while trying to make coffee in your own kitchen.
There you go. I got the scars to prove it. Ouch. I don't want to revisit that hand thing ever again. So I got a French press. I'm doing the Pacific Ocean thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Thank you. Very nice. I knew that hand was going to make it in there sooner or later. It's really looking pretty darn good.
It looks horrible. It's absolutely disgusting.
It's fine. I like it.
I saw it in person last night. It was worse than I imagined.
worse than I imagined. That's Kathy's This or That for John. Thank you so much. Okay, mine are just, I never follow a theme, Kath. I just kind of sit down and go.
You don't have to follow a theme.
No, okay. All right, here we go. Kath, here's your This or That.
Mm-hmm.
Tomato pickle. Oh, thinking hard.
Tomato.
All right. Cheesecake, chocolate cake.
Oh, that is so mean.
Mm.
Cheesecake.
Very nice. Phone call, text.
Oh, text. Gosh, nobody call me.
Form, function.
Form.
Oh. High tech, low tech.
High tech.
Oh. Work hard, play hard.
Play hard.
Hey. Yeah. Glasses, contacts.
Contacts.
Hmm. Driver, passenger.
Driver.
Hmm.
All the time.
Intelligent, funny.
Ooh, funny.
Okay. Blinds, curtains.
Curtains.
Honesty, others' feelings.
Honesty.
Save, spend.
See, okay, spend.
There we go. That's guess This or That for the week.
That
very nice
indeed.
Very, very revealing. Yeah, a little test into the psyche. Okay, that's it for us this week. We'll be back, so please stick around, all right?
WORD.
Temptation. It's everywhere. On the next Adventures in Odyssey, get ready as Kids Radio goes behind the scenes to expose the lies of Satan. He's busy making people feel hopeless, but no matter what tricks the devil plays, the key to victory is always close by. Find out how much power you really have on the next Adventures in Odyssey.
Tonight at 8 on 101.5 Word FM, WORD.
Did you buy into the timeshare lies?
I can tell you that I had a 4-year experience with a timeshare corporation who did nothing but lie to me.
That swapping locations was easy?
They made this sound that this would be a really good deal, that I could go anywhere, anytime I wanted to. That never worked out.
Timeshare lies. Thousands of timeshare owners know the feeling. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I worked for the largest timeshare company in the world. When I learned the truth about what they were selling, I quit my job and instead became the pioneer in helping folks get out of their timeshare contracts legally. I understand that trusting anyone after buying a timeshare is a difficult task. That's why I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
For a free information kit on how to cancel your timeshare, call Wesley Financial Group now. 800-605-5757. 800-605-5757. 800-605-5757.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company helps you customize your home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Unlike things you paid for you didn't need, like the Vacnado 2000. A Wi-Fi connected vacuum that uploads Dust Bunny data to the cloud for real-time optimization. Whatever that means. But really, it's just a very expensive doggy chew toy. With Liberty Mutual, get customized home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need. At libertymutual.com.
WORD celebrates the high school class of 2020, and we'd like to reward your college-bound senior's achievement during our Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes presented by Salem Media Group. Enter now through August 20th for a chance to win a $500 school package. Click the contest banner at wordfm.com and upload a photo of your senior with a short bio of their future plans. Then, Friday, August 21st, one lucky senior will win a $500 school package. The Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes, brought to you in part by Salem Media Group, Salem Surround, and this station.
This is Tim Seckler inviting you to tune in each and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Word FM 101.5 for the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by my law firm, the Seckler Law Firm. Each week, we'll talk about your family's well-being as it relates to elder law, nursing home stays, estate planning, and keeping your hard-earned savings. And if you missed the Life and Legacy Show, you will find it archived at SecklerLawFirm.com. See you Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Word FM 101.5 for the Life and Legacy Show.
Kathy Keller is back with us once again. Kathy, along with her husband Tim Keller, founded Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Manhattan in 1989. Formerly serving as Assistant Director of Communications for Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, Kathy is also the author of Jesus, Justice, and Gender Roles, The Case for Gender Roles in Ministry, and co-author with her husband Tim on The Meaning of Marriage, Facing the Complexities of Commitment with the Wisdom of God. Kath, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Kathy, we all heard with sadness and a lot of compassion about Tim's diagnosis of cancer about, I don't know, was that 4 weeks ago? And since then, we just want you to know, as those of us who are your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and also those of us who were born in Pittsburgh and always want to be close to a Pittsburgher, we've been praying for you and we love you guys. So before we launch into anything else, please tell us, how's Tim? How are you doing? How are you both navigating this new season?
Thank you so much. We are really depending on the prayers of God's people. And our main prayer has been that there would be minimal side effects to the chemotherapy that he's on and complete efficacy of the treatment, and that God would be glorified in everything. And how are we doing? You know, it's not a snapshot, it's a roller coaster, because on the one hand, we are just so totally convinced that God is loving and he's sovereign and nothing like this happens in your life that is accidental, and that he can be trusted to give you the thing you would have asked for if you had known everything that he knows. But on the other hand, you know, sometimes we just cling to each other and cry and to say, we didn't expect this, we don't know what to do with this. Mainly we've been saying to each other, we need to run the race that God has set before us, because we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I don't know if you're familiar with Johnny Erickson's book, A Step Further.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She talks about a time when she was just newly paralyzed, and she was alone in her room at night and thinking that she could indulge her thoughts in some very unspiritual thinking. No one would ever know. She was alone. She was in the dark. And then she realized she really wasn't. She was kind of on center stage, the 50-yard line, with all the hosts of heaven and earth and powers and principalities staring at her, wondering, well, is she going to glorify God or isn't she? And we're all like that all the time. But I think it takes something dramatic sometimes to make you realize that God has asked you to do something. He's given you an assignment. And even though people may not know individually what it is that you're going through, whether you're treating God as approaching him with dread or with hope, there are quite a few of those hosts and those witnesses who are observing you, and that your opportunity to glorify God has not diminished, but it has just increased.
That's so good. That's really powerful, Kat. So with that,
specifically, I mean, Tim's doing fine. I mean, he's considered asymptomatic. The cancer hadn't given him any symptoms at all. This was found accidentally, or let's put it a different way. This was found providentially. And any kind of uncomfortableness that he feels is from the chemotherapy, which is not anybody's idea of a picnic in the park.
I'm sure. Yeah. So then what's that like? I mean, for years and years and years, you and Tim have ministered to thousands of people, and now all of a sudden, you know, dramatically and unexpectedly, the roles have been reversed, and I'm sure people are loving on you now and caring for you and praying for you and reaching out to you. Was that hard? Was it an odd transition for you to lay that down and allow that to happen to you, to, you know, allow people to take care of you?
In one way, no. In one way, yes. I mean, I've been the one that's had all the health issues in our family, and they've been serious and severe, and they haven't been bad at all for the last 6 years. But prior to that, it was like kind of a revolving door at the hospital with some major life-threatening things. So trusting God whenever things really look dark is not a new thing. It's just new who we're trusting for. But, I mean, what the thing that is different that is that this is in a time of COVID, and we are sequestered in a way that we wouldn't be otherwise. I mean, we can't hug our grandchildren. We can't go out, you know, doing errands or things like that on the days when Tim feels good. So we're much more isolated than I think we would be. You're supposed to be sort of isolated when you're doing chemotherapy anyway, because
sure,
you're, you know, much more at risk for infection. But the doctor looked at my husband the first day he showed up for his chemotherapy and said, you know, you can't get COVID. It's like, well, we really weren't planning on it. But he said, well, but you can't. Okay, then. Well, we won't. So we're living in an apartment in a city makes it just a tiny bit harder than if you had a big yard and a deck and, you know, could walk around outside to that degree. But we still get out some. So it's just a little harder.
We're hearing from Kathy Keller. Kathy's the author of Jesus, Justice, and Gender Roles, A Case for Gender Roles in Ministry, and co-author with her husband, Tim, of The Meaning of Marriage, Facing the Complexities of Commitment with the Wisdom of God. We're checking in on Kath and on Tim after his recent cancer diagnosis. Kathy, I remember very clearly the day that we found out that my dad had cancer. And when you get that phone call, or I don't know if it was an email for you or whatever it was, it's just, it seemed to me like I had one life prior to that phone call, and then I had a different life after that phone call.
Well, it definitely does heighten things, and you have different perspective on the way you've always approached things. I would definitely say that, but no, it hasn't been that much of a change as far as our lives go. I mean, there was a great big flurry of hospitalizations and tests and scans and things, like one every other day, it almost seemed, for a while. But when you're 70, you kind of have to be thinking in terms of getting your affairs in order anyway. And we had been toying with the idea of prepaying the burial expenses since my sister died of cancer a couple of years ago, and, you know, thinking that after 70, really, that's as much as you can expect without having to think about it. That's never true. I mean, God tells us to number our days, and we should always be aware that at any moment God could say, I really require your presence. But once you hit those big round birthdays with the high numbers, you would be very foolish not to be thinking in terms of there's a limit, there's a ceiling here. So I don't think that it was that far from our thoughts.
Okay.
It's not something that you ever expect. You think, oh, well, I bought a new bathing suit for this summer, and I've...
Right.
You know, I had reservations, and, you know, a lot of those kind of things had to be canceled. So that was a wrench. But I think part of that is being, the old saints used to call that being weaned from the world, which is something we're supposed to be doing all the time. And if you've ever seen a baby being weaned from nursing to a sippy cup or solid food, they don't like it at all. I mean, you can't reason with them and say, honey, there's pizza, there's chocolate ice cream. I mean, I know you think you're in the best of all possible worlds, but you really aren't. And there's a wonderful verse of scripture that says, I'm like a weaned child on his mother's breast. And that's how we're supposed to be with God. And a weaned child is very different from a child who has not yet been weaned, because if you've ever seen a child that's, you know, saying, I feel a little peckish, Mom, and they're suddenly you're being attacked. I don't want to be too graphic for those of you who haven't been nursing mothers, but I've I have been, and you do suddenly feel like the kitchen cupboard. But a weaned child is one who just wants to lie on you and snuggle with you just because you're you. And God, God wants us, rather than to be coming to him saying, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, just give me you. So being, I have to tell you the story, because this has influenced Tim and I for decades. The very first funeral that Tim ever did was a woman named Alice Lockton, and he had visited her in the nursing home in Hopewell, Virginia, where his first church was. And she was quite elderly, and he came home one day from having visited her and was kind of in shock, and he said, do you know what she said to me? She said, you know, my husband's dead, and all my children are dead, and my friends are dead. And everything I ever liked to do, I can't do. I'm blind. I can't read. I can't garden. I can't walk. I can't leave this bed. She says, God's being so kind to me, because pretty soon he's going to be all that I have. So he's just getting ready by taking away all the distractions. And we both looked at each other and went, oh, my goodness. So when he did her funeral in not too short a time after that, it was a glorious, glorious time of praise of, you know, a woman who'd been looking forward to having Jesus be all she had, finally had all of Jesus. And that has been, I think, a testament to us for all our lives. But you don't really get there. You don't get there being weaned from the world just by saying, gee, I ought to put God more in the center of my life and all of my little hobbies and vacations and things more at the periphery. God has to help us. And I think that's, we see very much that that's what he's doing.
That's really good. That's super sweet. Kath, thanks an awful lot. I mean, you gave us a little intimate peek into your life here, and we certainly appreciate that. And of course, it goes without saying, you know, we're thinking about you an awful lot, you and Tim, and praying for you. And
oh, do pray, you know, too.
That God's grace is with you. I mean, after all these years, now it's your turn to be taken care of and for people to be loving on you. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, that's Kathy Keller. Kathy's the author with her husband, Tim, of several books, including The Meaning of Marriage, Facing the Complexities of Commitment with the Wisdom of God, and God's Wisdom for Navigating Life, A Year of Daily Devotions in the Book of Proverbs. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
Pray for the Kellers. Pray for the Kellers.
Audiences everywhere are saying Uncle Tom is a must-see movie, a movie that is changing hearts and minds and creating hope. An eye-opening masterpiece of the real history of America.
You can't depend on a government school to teach you raw history.
If you find a very educated Black American, somebody who got a 4.0 at a public high school, they are actively learning their history wrong.
This is the first thoughtful, factual, and historical film about Black America.
There should be a pride that we have in the fact that this country was built by many great Black men and women.
I focus on three things: belief in God, belief in myself, and my belief in the United States of America.
Uncle Tom is one of the most important documentaries of our time, starring Larry Elder, Candace Owens, Brandon Tatum, and Herman Cain.
Purchase now at UncleTom.com. Use promo code Pittsburgh for 20% off. That's UncleTom.com.
Hey, are you guys open?
Yeah, we are. Come on in.
As businesses reopen across the nation, is your business prepared for what comes next? Salem Surround can help. COVID-19 brought America's thriving economy to a screeching halt. But now, local businesses are getting back to normal. Are you ready for the return to business and all that pent-up consumer demand? Contact Salem Surround.
Learn more by logging on to SurroundPittsburgh.com. SurroundPittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Do you or your business have financial problems? Are you overwhelmed with debt? Then call me, attorney Dennis Spira, at 412-471-7675. My legal practice concentrates on bankruptcy law, debtor rights, and tax matters. I have over 30 years' experience as a former United States Department of Justice bankruptcy attorney and lawyer in private practice. I have represented thousands of cases faced with financial problems and lawsuits. Reorganize and get a fresh start. Call 412-471-7675 or visit my website at DennisSpira.com.
Eager to continue your theological learning or engage more deeply with Scripture? Enroll as a non-degree or certificate student and take Greek, Hebrew, or other courses online this fall at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. Application deadline is July 30th. Visit pts.edu.
I was a little bit surprised, but so happy to see how eager patients were to return to the office. And their loyalty and their friendship means everything to us.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care. At StockFamilyDentistry.com, WORD celebrates the high school class of 2020, and we'd like to reward your college-bound senior's achievement during our Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes presented by Salem Media Group. Enter now through August 20th for a chance to win a $500 school package. Click the contest banner at WordFM.com and upload a photo of your senior with a short bio of their future plans. Then, Friday, August 21st, one lucky senior will win a $500 school package. The Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes, brought to you in part by Salem Media Group, Salem Surround, and this station.
You may remember the story of the 100-year-old World War II vet in England who started to raise money for the National Health Service in Britain by taking laps around his garden. Well, he endeared himself greatly to the British people, and this fundraiser exploded to the tune of $40 million raised for the National Health Service. Well, today, Tom Moore was knighted. He is now Sir Tom Moore, and he met the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, at Windsor Castle, in the garden at Windsor Castle, where the Queen, looking resplendent in a green outfit and a green hat, took a long sword, and she tipped Tom Moore on either shoulder. Then a medal was pinned on his chest, and then the two stood there, social distance, and chatted, and then they went their separate ways. But to see a 100-year-old man and a 94-year-old queen converse about awesome. The beauty of life, it's fabulous, isn't it?
It was so terrific, and she looked awesome in her green outfit and the big flowers on her hat. I love everything about Queen Elizabeth.
I surely do too, yes. And it's good. The Queen said that to be the Queen, she must be seen. So this was the first time she was seen in public since the pandemic has taken place. She's been famously seen on Zoom, but the first time in a long time. And many people are saying this may be, sadly, the end of the Queen's reign in a COVID time. And her son, finally, will take over the reins.
It's never going to happen.
I don't know. He's 72 years old, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, long live Britain.
Listen on your smart speaker, the Word FM app at wordfm.com, iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. In the car or at home, too, at 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. California Governor Gavin Newsom has laid out strict criteria for school reopenings that make it unlikely the vast majority of districts will have classroom instruction in the fall as the coronavirus pandemic surges. Newsom's new guidance mandates that public schools in California counties that are on a monitoring list for rising coronavirus infections cannot hold in-person classes and will have to meet strict criteria for reopening. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, while suggesting people mask up, is not mandating it. He says local mask mandates, like one in Atlanta, cannot be enforced and devastate businesses. Supreme Court Chief Justice Ruth Ginsburg says she's undergoing treatment for a recurrence of liver cancer. She's undergoing chemotherapy due to the recurrence since May. On Wall Street, the Dow dropped 62 points today. This is SRN News.
It's time to stand with Israel. Sebastian Gorka here, inviting you to register for a life-changing trip to Israel, December 2nd to 11th. Join me, my friend Mike Lindell, and hundreds of patriots on the Stand with Israel tour, a journey to the Holy Land to get first-hand insights into Israel's fascinating past and promising future. Register today at sebgorka.com. On the Stand with Israel tour, history, culture, and faith will converge right before your eyes in a truly remarkable country. I'll take you behind the scenes to explore over 40 iconic sites during an all-inclusive 10-day tour this December. We'll pray at the ancient Western Wall, sail the picturesque Sea of Galilee, float on the Dead Sea, explore modern Tel Aviv, and much more. Best of all, we'll be together with like-minded supporters of the Nation of Israel. Reserve your spot today and travel with me on the Stand with Israel tour. Visit sebgorka.com and click on the Israel banner. That's sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com.
Why do you think some of the top investors in the world are buying gold? Recently, a handful of billionaires have been accumulating gold over other forms of investments. When the world's financial moguls like Sam Zell begin choosing metals, perhaps it's time you listen and follow suit with your own personal investments. Gold is formally recognized as a hedge against currency depreciation and inflation. Take David Einhorn as one example. Einhorn founded Greenlight Capital in 1996 and surged that fund from $900,000 to as high as $11 billion. Einhorn believes that the central bank's recent stimulus efforts will have an effect on pushing up the value of gold. He keeps 10% of his firm's value stored in gold bullion. If you're interested in knowing more about gold, platinum, and palladium, call Noble Gold for a no-pressure consultation. They have the most experienced representatives and an exclusive pipeline to metal sources. Visit them at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 2, God says, "Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you." In the midst of a pandemic, we've rediscovered a world that's hungry for truth, for the gospel. As Christians, we're called to run with God's banner for all to see. At ChristianAuthors.com, we're linking arms with believers like you. If you have a testimony to share, go to ChristianAuthors.com. It's time to put pen to paper. Let us help you get your story published. Go to ChristianAuthors.com today.
When it comes to your child's education, do you feel like you have a partner in your current school? Or is it more like you're on your own? As you look ahead to next year, now's a perfect time to consider a quality Christian education with a school who will be a true educational partner for you and your family. Many of our area's finest Christian schools are offering half-price tuitions for first-time enrollees, like Champion Christian School in Champion, PA. Find a school that's right for you at wordfm.com/tuitions.
Partial clouds for tonight, low 66. Sunny, hot, and humid on Saturday. High tomorrow, 92. Saturday night, cloudy and humid, low 71. Sunday, partial sun. Watch for a thunderstorm in the afternoon. High 92. Monday, variable clouds with a shower or thunderstorm. Humid with a high 90. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for coming along for the Friday edition. The stay-at-home continues for the foreseeable future. Boy, this is like mid... has it been 4 months we've been doing the stay-home show?
Yes.
Okay. 4 months into it.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems like... 4 months ago we started this, or actually four
Seems
years
like
ago.
Just 4 months ago.
Yes. How do you like your eggs, Kath?
I love my eggs any way you want to prepare them.
Any way?
Any way.
Really?
I have very bold feelings about my eggs. Would you like some detail?
Please.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate a hard-boiled egg if it's cold.
Cold. Only cold.
Not interested in a hard-boiled egg if it's still warm.
Okay.
Okay. That's no good. I always love a scrambled egg, mm-hmm. as long as it's cooked slowly and has chives on top. Chopped fresh chives.
Mm-hmm. Has to have chives.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
All right.
My very favorite kind of egg is the over easy egg or the sunny side up egg, as long as it has a runny yolk.
Mm-hmm. It has to have a runny yolk.
Has to have a runny yolk, and you have to serve it to me with pumpernickel toast.
There you go. I'm all in on the runny yolk, sunny side up. Oh yeah, that's
okay.
That's my preferred. That's my preferred egg.
Love that.
Yeah, and I like a scrambled egg.
Okay.
With now my wife will go sort of the far end. She'll do feta cheese and spinach on that.
Well, I bet that's fabulous.
It is fabulous. Well, I ask because I follow Miss Manners.
You Miss do? Manners.
Yes.
Mike, does that surprise you that John's following Miss Manners?
Why?
Actually,
why?
Not surprised.
No,
okay.
No.
Actually, not.
No.
All right.
Wait, this
like, of all the things you could be doing during the COVID era, you're following Miss Manners.
I'm following Miss Manners. Now, did you grow
etiquette
up
is the number one thing we should be concerned about.
Well, she goes beyond etiquette. I mean, okay. She's sort of a throwback to Dear Abby. Didn't you used to love Dear Abby?
I never loved Dear Abby.
Oh, I read Dear Abby almost every day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she was a font of common sense and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sort of like Miss Manners. So let me read you today's version of Miss Manners. Dear Miss Manners, my husband eats eggs that are cooked over easy as if it were a surgical procedure. With extreme precision, he cuts a square on top of the egg and pulls the flap back to expose the yolk. He then cuts his breakfast sausage and dips it into the yolk puddle. He claims this is perfectly acceptable and does not violate any element of good table manners. For some reason, even as I describe this faux fondue eating method, I find it disgusting appetite suppressant.
Wow.
However, I can find no reference in my etiquette books that addresses this matter specifically.
Okay, in my etiquette books, that should give you a little hint as to where we are here.
Isn't this a variation of playing with one's food? No, I don't believe that at all. Now, would you like to hear the response or would you like to chime in yourself?
Oh, no, I would like to hear the response. Okay. I mean, I will chime in. I realize that my computer is not plugged in and I'm losing power even
Uh-oh, get that. Mm-hmm. Let's pause here while you get that.
No. You keep on going, John. I'm just going to have to excuse myself. So please talk about her. I'm listening.
Okay. All right. Miss Manners says this as Kathla leaves the screen. Miss Manners says, the etiquette rule that applies here is that any eating habit that disgusts one partner to the point of nausea should be ceased immediately. Miss Manners recommends that you encourage your husband to eat his over-easy eggs in private and serve only hard-boiled or scrambled ones when you are eating breakfast together.
Listen, Miss Manners and I diverge.
That's a wiggle there. She just wiggled.
Come on.
You know what I would say? I think you might need some marriage counseling.
I think you should just resign yourself to the fact that dipping whatever you want in your runny yolk is like the top of life as a human.
I think it's enjoyable, right?
It's not just enjoyable, John. It's one of the few privileges we have.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not denied to us in these days.
If something like dipping a sausage in a runny yolk is upsetting the apple cart of your marriage, I believe there's deeper underpinnings of darkness there.
But, you know, I agree. And, you know, those deeper underpinnings are all shown in her etiquette books that she references earlier in the question. Who has etiquette books?
Who has etiquette books? Can you imagine? That's a rough road to hoe, I believe, isn't it?
Good. Great. You know what I'd rather dip in the runny yolk, though?
Mm.
A pancake.
Oh, no. No, I don't want that. No.
Oh, yeah. Or a waffle.
Now, how about a piece of nice toast with raspberry jelly on it?
If it's pumpernickel with raspberry.
I'm doing that.
It's the bomb. It's the
how many
bomb.
Eggs do you have at a time? Would you do two?
I've never done one. Sometimes
what?
I do three.
Three eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. Sunny side up.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty darn good. You're living the good life, Kath.
Three eggs and enough toast to sop it all up.
Very nice.
Sometimes that could be three pieces of toast. It could be four.
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be five.
Okay. Now, she does make the recommendation for the breakfast sausage. You yourself in a non-meat eating household, do you feel like you're suffering without the sausage or the bacon?
No.
Mm.
No. First of all, I'm not a huge fan of sausage.
Oh, I like sausage.
And bacon we have every once in a while.
Okay.
You know, like once every couple months or something. So it's fine. But if you told me, since we don't eat meat, that I couldn't eat eggs, that would be a problem.
Okay. All right. Wait. This is a bonus round of this or that. This or that. For breakfast, DeLucas Ritters. DeLucas or Ritters, Kath? Where are you going?
DeLucas.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. And I love Ritters.
It is a great, it's a little, it's something to do with the weirdo inside decor, the long counter.
Or the vibrancy of the strip.
I think it's on Penn Avenue there.
Yeah. Okay. How about this? Pamela's or what's an
alternative? Oh, the original Pancake House.
Oh. Ooh.
OPH every time.
I think so too.
Oh my gosh. Listen, do we love it there?
That's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Now, the original Pancake House is not the Imposter Pancake House. What's the other one?
No, it's not. It's not
International House of Pancakes.
Yeah, it's not IHOP. No, it's not IHOP. Like IHOP.
No. Original Pancake.
The original Pancake House. You have to. There's one on McKnight Road in the North Hills, from Northway Mall, and there's another one, I think, in Mount Lebanon. Or
are they closed? Are they closed?
I don't know. You can't go there. I haven't been anywhere in 4 months, so how would I know?
Yeah. Do you like potato pancakes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Potato pancakes are delicious. Yeah. How about Swedish pancakes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. With the lingonberries? Is that what it is?
Lingonberries.
Lingonberries, yeah.
Mm.
That's fabulous.
How about a waffle?
Okay, I'm not a bad. Yeah, I'll do a waffle. Yeah.
A waffle.
Lots of syrup. You want some pecans on those?
No.
How about whipped cream and strawberries?
No, I hate that.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
Not dessert.
How about Leslie Knope?
Dessert.
Leslie Knope.
And her mama.
Oh, man. You know.
Yeah. How about a crepe?
Oh, I love a crepe. Mm. Nice and light and airy. Mm. Fabulous. Yeah.
I love it. I haven't had a crepe in a while. What about a blintz?
Yeah, I'll do a blintz happily. Can you make a crepe?
No.
That's a very specific.
I've tried. Tried a lot, and I've ruined a lot of flour and salt. Sugar.
See, now I got a little taste for pancakes there. You put that in my head.
Yeah, we're having this conversation. I might do that for dinner.
How about breakfast for dinner on a Friday night?
It's a fine idea, except that it's too hot and I don't want to be like hanging over a griddle in my kitchen.
Yeah. What are you making for dinner tonight? Anything?
We're going out.
Where are you going?
Well, we're going to take out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about it later in the week in review.
Hold on. This is two nights in a row. You're doing takeout?
Yeah, well, we did pizza last night.
I know you did. Uh-huh. There goes the budget.
I don't know if you really want to be airing all of my personal laundry here on the ride home, John.
I mean, it's wide open, Kev. You have no barriers here, my lady. Okay.
All right. Coming up next, Dr. Carl Truman, Department of Biblical and Religious Studies at Grove City College. We're going to talk about our Marcusean moment. And you're thinking, what is that word, Marcusean? Well, we're going to have Carl Truman tell us in a little bit. And I'm going to ask him about dippy eggs. That's next on the Friday edition of the Ride Home. Oh, by the way, your weekend's begun.
Thank you. Twice in it.
I know.
We've never done that.
Sorry.
Well, Friday afternoon, we always check in to see what's on the stove down at the Springhouse. Marsh, how are things today?
Hi, guys. Things are hot. How about for you?
Oh, yeah. Big time, lady.
Yeah, we're not in Antarctica up here in Pittsburgh. There's about the same weather pattern.
But it's hot in the kitchen.
My gosh. You poor thing. Yeah. However, in the midst of all that, I believe that you are a thankful spirit. Are you not?
I am. I am so thankful. I was just thinking about, there's just a lot of craziness going on. I'm so thankful for people that have been consistently coming in and getting their supper and getting lunch and getting breakfast on Saturday morning and stocking up on cookies and pies. And we're selling salads galore, like potato salad and coleslaw and sweet and sour broccoli and their baked goods. And, it's really a blessing the way that people are supporting local businesses. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Fabulous.
Well, that's wonderful, Marcia. Now, for people who've said, I always heard about the Springhouse on the radio and I never went there and now it's COVID and now I'm never going to go. What do you have to say?
It's time to come on out. It's time to come on out to the country.
Good.
Because we have seating outside in the picnic patch and we have seating in the sun porch. We took out a few more tables, but that's all right. That gives you more room to breathe. And it's just a great time to come out. And people have been hanging over the fence all week long, watching the heifers in the field and watching the baby calves, and it's just a great time to, you know, this feels like a more peaceful time in our country, you know, and this is a good time to enjoy your family and come on out to the farm and hang out and eat some good food.
Very nice. Marcia, always a pleasure. And that thankful spirit, I know it. I see it. It's all over your life. So always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks, guys.
Love you, Marcia. Hey, listen, take a nice drive to the country. Go out to the Springhouse, Springhouse Market online, springhousemarket.com. We'll be back in a few
101.5 WORD.
You know, God takes no delight in judging sin. And that's why he sent tender-hearted men to deliver harsh messages. One of them was Micah, whose message was for both Samaria and Jerusalem. This week, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us through Micah's message of judgment and his deep mourning for what was about to happen because of the nation's sin. So join us as we make our way through the Bible.
This evening at 9 p.m. on 101.5 WORD.
It's easier to change the world than you think. Sponsor a child in extreme poverty with Compassion International, and you will change the world for that child. Just text the word CHILD to 83393 to sponsor right now.
Eager to continue your theological learning or engage more deeply with Scripture? Enroll as a non-degree or certificate student and take Greek, Hebrew, or other courses online this fall at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. Application deadline is July 30th. Visit pts.edu.
Trip to Europe. Visit all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums. Go skydiving. Okay, so you know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune into Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Kenodic and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group Saturdays at 10 a.m. to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do the things you've always dreamt about doing in retirement. Listen every Saturday morning at 10 to Your Retirement Blueprint with Accurate Solutions Group. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
WORD celebrates the high school class of 2020, and we'd like to reward your college-bound senior's achievement during our Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes presented by Salem Media Group. Enter now through August 20th for a chance to win a $500 school package. Click the contest banner at wordfm.com and upload a photo of your senior with a short bio of their future plans. Then, Friday, August 21st, one lucky senior will win a $500 school package. The Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes, brought to you in part by Salem Media Group, Salem Surround, and this station.
Happy to have Dr. Carl R. Truman back with us, Department of Biblical and Religious Studies at Grove City College, where Carl teaches courses on the history of religious thought. Dr. Truman has worked extensively in the field of Reformation and post-Reformation studies, but more recently has become interested in matters relating to the understanding of human personhood and how this shapes modern thinking about politics, about freedom, and about identity. Dr. Truman writes regularly for First Things. We'll be talking about a piece he has in First Things right now. And he co-hosts a weekly podcast called The Mortification of Spin for the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Dr. Truman, welcome back.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Carl, the piece in First Things is titled Our Marcusean Moment. I have to be honest, before I saw Marcusean in print, I had never heard the word before. Please, tell us the definition of Marcusean.
Well, it's an adjective drawn from the surname of a very influential German thinker and theorist of the middle years of the 20th century, Herbert Marcuse, who was part of what's called the Frankfurt School, which was the place really where critical theory, of which perhaps we're most familiar now with critical race theory, was formulated. Radical left thinker, great critic of both of consumerist society and of democracy. And, you know, it's interesting that you say you'd never come across the name of the term before. It's a great example of how we live in a world suffused with ideas by from men and women that many of us have never heard of, but who, strange to tell, kind of govern the way we think and act these days.
Fascinating.
Dr. Truman, let's talk about the letter that was published in Harper's last week, written by many influential writers, thinkers, speakers, about their concern that free speech is disappearing, that when they have made a statement of any kind, whether it has to do with, I don't know, it has to do with psychology, it has to do with gender, it has to do with politics. It has to do with worldview, whatever it is, that the far left has come crashing down on them and said, no, these opinions can't be heard. If they are heard, then they're going to be hurtful to someone. They're going to put someone else in peril. And so these ideas have to be silenced. How do you read it?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent summary. And I think what we're witnessing at the moment is it's very interesting for a number of reasons. First of all, of course, most of the signatories to that letter are people that one would regard as being on the political left.
Yes.
of the spectrum. They're not conservatives. They're not right-wingers in any shape or form. And they're being hammered by other members of the left. So that's an interesting aspect of this. The other side of it, I think, is that's interesting is what we're seeing is this strange alliance between radical left ideology, social media, and large economic corporations that is kind of unprecedented in history, and yet is demonstrably able to use tremendous power to assert its ideology and to close down discussion on key things. So, you know, the latest sort of victim of this is J.K. Rowling, of course. Massive social media campaign launched against J.K. Rowling because of her comments on transgenderism. And, you know, she faces the potential, perhaps, of never getting a book contract again or something like that. We've not seen this confluence of media, corporate, and ideological interests ever before. And I think it's spectacularly and terrifyingly powerful.
Mm-hmm. It is powerful. And to think that artists are being shouted down. I mean, you think about, Rembrandt. If Rembrandt had lived in this era, then people would be, you know, sort of opposed to his stance on something. And all of a sudden, you know, his artistry would be completely and totally void. And that's what's happening. So we'll see it in performing arts or in literature or whatnot, where art and free thought will collide now and one will trump the other.
Yes, and I think the great irony of that, of course, is that the artistic community has tended to be at the radical end of things relative to self-expression, freedom of speech, et cetera, to the point where many of us are more of a more conservative orientation, while respecting their rights to say and do some of the things they've done, if not approved of what they've said and done, but we've still, as I say, respected their right to do so. What we're now seeing is the artistic community itself dividing over matters of freedom of speech and self-expression. And again, it's a fascinating moment to watch. My one regret about the Harper's letter is, you know, there've been plenty examples of cancellation on the right over the last few years. It would be nice to have had some of these signatories standing up for their more conservative contemporaries on issues of freedom of speech and expression.
Right. But it's not really about freedom of speech and expression. I think that's why they're not standing up, and they didn't stand up for people on the right, because they say that's their core value. But I think in living it out, in watching it unfold, that's really not what they're after.
Yeah, I think I would agree. You know, it's the issue for me with free speech is it's always been it's the right to allow that person that I most vigorously disagree with to express their opinion in the public sphere.
Right.
And I'm not sure that has always been the case for many people on the left. The difference now, of course, is that the left is coming after the left. It's not that the conservatives are being silenced. It's that the left is now being silenced. So, of course, they're going to be more agitated and concerned. And I'm grateful for that. Many of the people who signed that letter are taking some professional risk in doing so. So I don't want to belittle the action they've taken. I just wish it had happened somewhat earlier.
Right.
So, Carl, we're talking about, though, a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the population who is invested and involved in this sort of culture. The rest of us, you know, we're just making our way through life, raising our family, paying our bills. But in some way, that tiny percentage has also infused the news media and, of course, corporate America. So this discussion is being forced upon us, whether we're part of it or not.
Yes, and I think, you know, the social media aspect of this, the Twitter storms, very interesting from that perspective. What we need, of course, is corporate executives, chancellors and presidents of colleges and universities to face this stuff down. I think it's a paper tiger. If you stand up to it, then it will crumble. The problem we face at the moment is that so few people seem actually willing to take the risk of standing up against it. And every victory this kind of thing claims merely emboldens those who are driving it behind the scenes.
Right. Okay, yes. So then J.K. Rowling's a perfect example because, you know, she doesn't need another paycheck. She'd like to continue to create her art, I'm sure. She's standing up to this, but she's being shouted down. So I guess this is in many ways a litmus test to see what happens to J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, I mean, and I hope she stands firm. I really do. And the great thing, as you've mentioned about J.K. Rowling, is she's not like you or me. She's not living paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
She's not depending on a job. She actually has the power, the personal financial power to take the hits at this point. And, I have many disagreements with J.K. Rowling, I'm sure, on a whole host of issues. But I really hope that she will be the first of hopefully an increasing tide of high-profile people who can stand up and take a stand without it posing grave personal risk to them.
Right.
It's tougher for the teacher in the public school, it's very tough for them to take a stand because they're going to lose their job next week if they do that.
Right.
We need the people who can take a stand to take a stand.
Dr. Carl Truman with us, Department of Biblical and Religious Studies at Grove City College. He writes regularly for First Things. We're talking about his article that he just had published called Our Marcusean Moment. Only a few minutes left, Dr. Truman. I wanted to bring up a quote by our good friend Jerry Boyer, who's a regular guest on our show, and we've known Jerry for a long time. But he wrote a couple years ago, he said, "You know that you're mature enough for democracy or for a democratic society when you're willing to fight for the right of the people you disagree with to express their opinion." How do you see that?
I absolutely agree. I remember being at a lecture a couple of years ago by a friend of mine, Alan Gelzo, and the discussion at the end was about taking the knee relative to the NFL at that point in time. And, and Alan made the point that he personally disagreed with people taking the knee. He said, "But I will fight for their right under the Constitution for them so to do." And that really gripped my imagination. I thought, yep, that's what democracy depends upon. It depends upon everybody having sufficient respect for those who are different from them to tolerate that difference and to allow for those groups to express themselves.
Yes. But Carl, so here's where we are. And now you're obviously a professor at Grove City College. You're helping to form young minds. What will the future look like? That paper tiger, if that exactly does exist, or maybe not does exist, 10, 20, 30 years down the line, this could be a world changer.
Yes, I do fear for the future of education at this point. Not at Grove City College. I think Grove has a good, strong president, and we're pretty committed to our vision of political liberty as such. But I do fear for the future of education. If education merely becomes a context for political indoctrination, then I think we have a real problem as today's graduates move into positions of authority within the wider culture in the coming decades.
And amen and amen to that. Dr. Carl Truman's been with us. Carl, thank you so much for your time again today.
Carl, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
A great pleasure. The article that we've referenced with Carl Truman appears in First Things. We'd highly recommend it. You look at First Things, whether the print edition or online, First Things. Take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the must-have accessory, which are museum face masks. Wouldn't it be nice to wear a piece of artwork as you walk around the world wearing your face mask? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Stick around.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare.
So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by July 31st, and you'll save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 844-57-BIBLE. That's 844-57-BIBLE. 844-57-BIBLE.
We are welcoming patients back, and we're happy to do so. Although we can't give the normal hugs or handshakes that they might be used to, the same exceptional dentistry, the same compassionate care is still there.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
These are very dark and unusual times that we are going through right now. And I wonder about the world and those who don't know Christ in their lives, what they're thinking about. Because as difficult as things are, at least if you love Jesus, you know that in the end, you'll be with Jesus and everything will be okay. Now, all that to say, especially if you've got a young son or daughter, those precepts, those biblical precepts of leadership must be instilled from an early age. That's why both Kath and I are thrilled that our children attend Grove City College. Kath?
Yeah, if there ever was a time, John, when we need good leaders, man, this is one of those times. Oh, you know, you just look at the acerbic nature of how people communicate online, and you look at how dysfunctional our national government is, not to mention state or local government, and you think, gosh, we really need to be training young people to think logically, to act with heart, to look outward to the world with compassion and understanding, grace and truth. That's what a leader is all about. And it doesn't happen by accident, John.
Amen to that. We need to look at the world, whether it's politics, science, art, or economics, through a strong Christian lens. I would say if you've got a young son or daughter and they're looking at their next step in education, you definitely should look at Grove City College online. GCC.edu.
We are everywhere. On your radio at 101.5 WORD FM Pittsburgh, at WordFM.com, the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and at radio.com.
Partial clouds for tonight, low 66. Sunny, hot, and humid on Saturday. High tomorrow, 92. Saturday night, cloudy and humid, low 71. Sunday, partial sun. Watch for a thunderstorm in the afternoon. High 92. Monday, variable clouds with a shower or thunderstorm. Humid with a high 90. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
Well, as museums start to reopen across the United States and around the world, many countries require, of course, people to wear masks. So, looking at people as they sort of filter slowly back into the public sphere, and especially into art-filled museums, museum directors have been struck by how ugly the masks appear to be, pretty much anonymous, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're working in a place where there are beautiful things on the walls, you think, well, why not make masks beautiful as well? So many museums around the world, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the London Museum, the Tate, they have in their own gift shops started to imprint works that are on their walls onto the masks themselves. And a quick perusal online, you can find really beautiful masks from Rembrandt, Van Gogh, all the different great artists and contemporary artists as well. Don't cost you a whole lot of money, $9, $12. You can go up to maybe $20 or so. But the idea of walking around now with a piece of artwork on your face, it kind of takes the edge off a little bit. Maybe it makes people who would not necessarily want to wear a mask, maybe it'd be so if you're wearing a great work of art. Kath, would you spring for that?
Something about that. Well, first off, I understand the interest in making your mask look less clinical and frightening.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have a navy blue mask. My husband has a black one. When we go out, we look kind of menacing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I was thinking it'd be nice to get something a little lighter to, like, you know, spruce up this couple. But I feel like it's a little bit of a denigration of the art.
Oh, really?
I think
no,
it is. Yeah.
I don't think that way. I think the opposite. I think it lifts the art up.
Okay.
I think if those artists, like, you know, if you're wearing a Matisse, if Matisse was alive today, he might go, yeah, let me create something specifically for you. I'm surprised there are not more artistic masks out there.
Yeah, I guess I would just rather see an exploration. Like, I sound like really, you know, theoretical about this, or like Ivy League academic about this, but I would rather see some kind of, I don't know, an investment in textiles and the art of textiles more than I would rather see actual fine art going onto a mask.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there is an almost infinite number of textiles that are produced around the world. Everything from wool to silk to polyester to nylon to, you know, cotton, you name it.
Sure.
And though the different patterns and the different colors and the different colorways are just so fabulous. Yeah. I just feel like that would be a finer exploration than it would be taking, you know, Renoir and slapping them on my face.
Okay. All right. Have you been to Etsy? Looked online and like buying a, you know, a nice colorful mask?
I just bought some new masks yesterday.
Oh, did you though?
Yeah. I bought like a little gingham thing, like a little pink and yellow and gray.
What's a gingham?
Gingham is a cotton fabric, and it is a check. It's a very light check.
I see.
So like you'd wear gingham in the summer if you lived in Atlanta or if you lived here. But I mean, it's a very cool, breathable cotton fabric.
I've seen people walking around with like the Steeler logo on their mask or the pirate logo on their mask.
Have you seen the people who have the face of their animal imprinted on their mask?
No, but
you haven't seen this.
No.
You can actually take a picture of the face of your dog or cat
and
then send it into some company and they will send you a mask that looks just like your animal. If you see someone next to like wearing the mask next to their actual animal, it's
really
creepy.
That's weird. Okay. All right.
It's super weird.
Anything to encourage people to wear their mask, right?
Wear your mask. If you need a lighter one or a darker one or one that has Matisse on it, I don't care.
That's
Knock
fine.
It out. I'm sure Cezanne will find a way to forgive you.
Okay. Well, here it is on a Friday show. Always on a Friday, Kath and I take a moment and we look back. So we'll do that next. The week in review. What did you eat? What did you read? What had hacked you off? What made you happy? That's straight ahead. The Ride Home with John and Kathy.
ORD, the station with Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music every weekend.
With the best new music.
New music.
New music from Jamie Kimmett, Since I Met You.
Since I Met You.
Famous For by Taryn Wells.
Do what you are famous for.
And Glorify by Jordan Feliz.
The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites.
Brought to you by Trinity Jewelers and Dennis Spira and Associates.
101.5 WORD.
On the weekend.
You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to my listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener specials. You're going to see some amazing offers. Right now, MyPillow is offering an exclusive radio special. Today, we're offering buy one, get one free on a variety of amazing products, including the Supima MyPillows, MyPillow towels, roll and go anywhere pillows, duvet covers, Giza pillowcase, bolster pillows, and neck pillows. Plus, if you buy Mike Lindell's book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO, you'll get free shipping and a $25 gift card. Just go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code Word or call 800-391-0954. Be sure to use promo code Word. MyPillow is answering the call for more face masks as the country continues to deal with a global coronavirus pandemic. They'll be making face masks for hospitals across the country.
Planning a vacation can be a lot of fun, but preparing for retirement, not so much. It's confusing. That's where Kevin Bach can help, showing you how to generate retirement income, how to choose a good Social Security claiming strategy, and how to help minimize your tax obligations. Call Kevin at 724-837-3553. Kevin Bach is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration or any other government agency. Insurance and annuities offered through Kevin Bach, PA Insurance License Number 352896.
In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 2, God says, "Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you.
In the midst of a pandemic, we've rediscovered a world that's hungry for truth, for the gospel. As Christians, we're called to run with God's banner for all to see. At ChristianAuthors.com, we're linking arms with believers like you. If you have a testimony to share, go to ChristianAuthors.com. It's time to put pen to paper. Let us help you get your story published. Go to ChristianAuthors.com today.
Eager to continue your theological learning or engage more deeply with Scripture? Enroll as a non-degree or certificate student and take Greek, Hebrew, or other courses online this fall at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. Application deadline is July 30th. Visit pts.edu.
96 elephants are killed every day in Africa for their ivory. That's 35,000 a year. With your support, more poachers can be caught. With your voice, we can inspire more countries to ban ivory sales and reduce demand. Go to 96elephants.org and join more than a million people dedicated to saving Africa's elephants. Protect their home. Take action at 96elephants.org.
It's been another week. That means it's time for John and Kathy's Week in Review. What was everyone talking about this week?
Oh, I think it's rising COVID numbers again.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, from my perspective, people are mostly talking about to mask or not to mask.
Oh, listen, I am so...
That conversation.
You know how over that conversation I
right.
am.
You know, I got a medical condition. I can't wear it. Or my rights are being, you know, as a trampoline. I'm not going to wear that. That's what I was thinking about.
Spare me. Okay, well, I was also thinking about the conversation of what's going to happen to school in the fall.
Because
that's a conversation
that
a lot of people are starting to have, right?
Right.
All right, next.
What was a conversation that made you think?
All right. You want to go first? Want me to go first?
Well, I had a lot of thought after our conversation with David French, which was on Monday's show at 5:10. David is the senior editor of the Dispatch, and he wrote a piece about religious freedom. And in the piece, he cited the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States, John, has voted in favor of religious freedom 15 straight times, which every conservative, every person who's a believer in anything should rejoice in. It's one of the great cornerstones of our nation. And the Supreme Court has upheld that. So why are conservatives still freaking out and looking at the situation in America and saying we're on the perilous edge of the cliff?
Right.
And what he says is it's not that we're losing religious freedom. It's that white evangelicals or white Protestants are losing power in culture. Mm-hmm. And that's what people are afraid of. Now, I understand that that could be scary for some people. I'm not saying that that's a situation that you shouldn't think about, but it's actually not a cessation of religious freedom. It's just a lessening of cultural influence. That was really helpful to me.
Very good, David French.
What about you?
Well, sort of along the same lines, I was thinking about our conversation with Michael Brown, where his brand new piece is called Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test? And so what Michael Brown essentially said is, you know, the president has done massive good for evangelicals. He's been excellent at keeping his commitments. He's been pro-family. He's stacked the courts with conservative judges. He's moved to ensure that
the embassies
in Jerusalem. He's pushed back against the tyranny of China. But at the same time, you know, the way he acts, the way he conducts himself, you know, his rudeness, his exaggeration, the lies, the deepening divide, all that thing. And of course, we as evangelicals are tied into that. So it's a very complex issue to follow through. I was surprised and actually heartened by Michael Brown, who I would consider as hardcore a conservative as an evangelical as well, that he was willing to have that conversation and to have it and not people kind of go, I'm for the president and, you know, but how dare you criticize him, or I don't like the president and, you know, it's the end
He's
of the
never
world.
Done anything but, right.
Right. So we should have this conversation. We should say, yes, he has done well, but he's also screwed up in his personal thing.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right, Mike.
What did you eat?
What did you eat? Yeah, my wife does this regularly. She makes fried chicken in a cast iron skillet.
Stop it.
It is so absolutely fabulous. I could eat that all day long. So that's what we had. I had it not once. I think I had it three times this week.
Oh my gosh, that sounds really, really good.
Very good, yeah.
Well, I went and got takeout for the first time since we started this whole COVID experiment.
Yeah.
And I think, did I talk about El Campesino on McKnight Road last week?
Oh, you did. No, just not last week, just the other day.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, I'd like to mention it again because that is how delicious it was. I love a fish taco. I love a fish taco in Southern California when you're close to the border and the breezes are warm and the humidity is low and the ocean is there. Okay. That's when I really like a fish taco. But I'm telling you, since I have been back in Pittsburgh, the very best fish taco I had. El Campesino on McKnight Road.
Oh, really? Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Excellent.
Yeah. Okay.
Next.
What did you watch?
Yeah.
I watched the Netflix documentary 13th this week, which is about the criminalization of African Americans and the overcrowding of U.S. prisons, the general boom in the U.S. prison system. And I thought it was fascinating.
Fabulous. I watched this this movie on Hulu. One of our kids got Hulu because they, you know, got a phone or something like that. And so we get a Hulu subscription.
Okay.
We watched this movie called The Trip. And it's this improvised tour of the north of England reuniting Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. I did not know these guys.
These Who are these guys?
They're English sort of, I guess, television stars.
Oh, okay.
And they get in their car and they go on this trip to different restaurants and they have this conversation and they are hysterical. It is really worth looking at. If you've got Hulu, The Trip, I would really recommend this. It's fun. It's wry. It's really interesting. Sort of two guys I knew nothing about. They do all these like sort of impersonations of different movie actors and stuff. They kind of like each other, but they don't kind of like each other. It's really well done. The Trip.
All right. I like it. All right. Number five.
What hacked you off?
Really?
It's a long list. Okay. You just got to keep it short, right? What do you got?
All right. I am just so sick of this era that we're in where Christians, instead of working out their differences, having really agonizing conversations face to face, coming to some kind of resolution or not coming to some kind of resolution, but still knowing that Jesus prayed that we would be unified as one. Instead of doing that, all that hard work of being across the table from one another and disagreeing, instead airing it on social media or on a website, I think it's just so discouraging and unhelpful. Yeah, and really, it's the easy way out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. What hacks me off are these tales of microaggression and injustice and colonization. I mean, you want to do hard work? Well, you know, feelings aren't facts. So grow up and have a conversation and sit down instead of canceling everything and trying to tear stuff down. Be an adult and grow up, please, people. That's all.
Next.
What was the best news you heard this week?
Oh, listen, this is really good. Listen, I don't know if you saw the story online about this little boy, 6-year-old young man named Bridger, who saved his little sister's life by standing between her and a charging dog.
Well,
after getting bit several times on the face and head by the dog, he grabbed his sister's hand and ran with her to keep her safe. He later said, quote, "If someone had to die, I thought it should be me."
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. After receiving 90 stitches from a skilled plastic surgeon in his face, John, he is finally resting at home. His parents said, "We love our brave boy and want all the other superheroes to know about this latest hero who joined their ranks."
Fabulous.
Bridger.
Where is this? Was this here?
I saw it on Instagram.
Okay. Very nice. I haven't talked about this a little bit. I got a bum shoulder.
You sure do.
And so I had to go get an MRI this week down at UPMC. You know, I know that we've been really sort of, you know, talking about the frontline people, and God bless those nurses and doctors and everybody else. But I'm telling you, my experience, and I haven't been to a doctor or you know, at a hospital for a long time. Thank goodness for good health. But my experience was just first rate. Everybody I met, you know, from the guy in the parking lot to the receptionist at the front door to the MRI tech to the, you know, just everybody, just kudos. I know we talk about healthcare a lot in the city of Pittsburgh, but man, that was really good news for me to experience it firsthand. I love it. Haven't got the bill yet, though.
All right. And lastly.
And in closing, you two have anything meaningful for us?
I mean, gosh, how he says that.
Yeah, he's kind of.
Okay, I talked about this book last week. I'm showing it on the stream on Facebook right now. It's called Jesus and the Disinherited by Howard Thurman. Listen, this is a book about a rock star, about an intellectual energy, a person who was willing to embrace different ideas and worldviews and everything. Howard Thurman is the one who really, in many ways, altered the thinking of Martin Luther King Jr. If you want an excellent book, Jesus and the Disinherited. But listen, I also just started this, Latasha Morrison, Be the Bridge.
Yeah.
This is so good. Pursuing God's Heart for Racial Reconciliation. I hope we can see this on. There we go. You can see it. This is so terrific. It's gotten so much good press, and there's a reason why I had to wait 4 weeks to get my copy. Anyway, check out both of these, Jesus and the Disinherited or Latasha Morrison's Be the Bridge.
Very nice. Okay, just one quick thing. You know when you're on Facebook and or on Twitter, the people say, would you please pray for me? Would you do? You hear so many stories of, heartbreak and sorrow and that. What I love is that people are willing to pray and truly pray. So it's been a great encouragement to me. We often just beat up on social media because it is accessible, right. But it's also good. And people are wonderful and people are hurting. People need prayer. So I would make it. I've done this. Every time I see someone say, would you please pray?
Yep, I do it.
Stop.
Yep. And do it.
And I pray, whether it's for, 60 seconds or whatnot. It's a really good thing for me. It's helped me in my prayer life. And so that's what's meaningful to me. The more you pray, the better off your life's going to be.
And that's John and Kathy's Week in Review.
The people in this movie share three things in common. They are courageous. They have had a life-changing experience. And they are Black American conservatives. These are the voices of the movie Uncle Tom.
I don't remember the actual day, but I remember the emotion that I felt when it happened.
I'm often asked, was there an epiphany?
I started asking questions.
As I became more politically aware,
a lot of the way that I saw things began to change.
All of this information I've been taking in for several years.
A continuation of these kind of contradictions.
I had bought into all of these lies.
You begin to see what the real agenda is.
The story that is changing hearts and minds and opening eyes. Their journey will amaze you. Their courage will challenge you. Audiences everywhere are saying Uncle Tom is a must-see movie.
Purchase now at UncleTom.com. Use promo code Pittsburgh for 20% off. That's UncleTom.com, promo code Pittsburgh.
First Presbyterian Church is a beacon of light and love to this community.
The message that I hear sustains me for the whole week.
I love this church because of the diversity and the music and the people.
The incredible beauty of the space.
A warm, welcoming congregation.
The people are amazing and truly love one another and Christ, and our pastor preaches the gospel.
I want everybody to Pittsburgh to come and experience.
First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, in the heart of the city, with the city in its heart.
If you are a caregiver for a family member or loved one, this is an important message. Excel Home Care will pay you to take care of your family member or loved one. Yes, you heard right. You can actually get paid to provide care for those you love. To learn more, contact Excel Home Care today and get started right now. Care and quality when you need it. XL Home Care, 412-212-8950, 412-212-8950. XL Home Care, a help at home company.
Seasons of change and uncertainty can be difficult, even scary, but they don't have to control or define you. The counselors of the Grace Wellness Center would consider it a privilege to come alongside and help you replace the fear and frustration with freedom and peace. While office visits are still available throughout the area, Grace Wellness Center also offers online and phone appointments to make counseling convenient and available on your terms, accepting all major insurances at thegracewellnesscenter.com.
These days, your health and wellness is top of mind, and it's no surprise that healthy living begins with what we eat. That's why Fresh Thyme is more committed than ever to providing real, healthy foods at real, affordable prices.
Eager to continue your theological learning or engage more deeply with Scripture? Enroll as a non-degree or certificate student and take Greek, Hebrew, or other courses online this fall at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. Application deadline is July 30th. Visit pts.edu.
guy who lives in Lawrenceville. He is not an artist. He is by trade working in the finance industry. His name is Sean Rothenmel. And he put together artwork for 27 billboards. And these billboards are up until the end of July. The 27 billboards are in all neighborhoods here in the city of Pittsburgh. And he said, you know, I just wanted to put these things together to talk about Pittsburgh and togetherness and resilience and love for each other. And I've got a map that he has of these 27 billboards.
Wow.
And he said to go through these 27 billboards, it takes about 3 hours driving through the city of Pittsburgh. And they're up for the next couple of weeks. So you can go do this and just drive around the city. He said, I'll take you to places in the city I guarantee you you've never been to, even if you're a lifelong Pittsburgher. So I love this idea, right? Someone just going out of their way. I've not seen these billboards, so I can't attest to the quality of them. But just the idea of getting out of the house for 3 hours and going to see some artwork and driving through some of the cool neighborhoods in the city of Pittsburgh, that's a good thing.
That is such an awesome idea.
Yeah.
What's this man's name?
Sean Rothenmel.
Sean, three cheers for you, man.
Yeah, uh-huh. Wow. He hopes the exhibition will be a source of inspiration for people.
Very Isn't nice. It fun to live in a city that you don't know all of?
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, think, you know, I'll end up in a place. I mean, pre-COVID, of course, now I don't go anywhere. But when I was going places, I'd end up in a place and I think, really? No, I didn't know this place was here.
No, how about this? I'll do this. Like, you know, you have like a particular route you're going on.
Yeah.
You know, I've done this route like 5 million times because I'm taking my kids to someplace. And I think, I have never made a right up that street.
Oh,
I have no idea what's up that street.
Right. I should take a right up that street.
I've done that.
And then you're gonna go,
oh, what the heck's going on up here, man? This is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't it fun when you go, when you're in a car with someone else? Remember in the olden days when you could be in a car with someone else and they drive to a place that you know how to get to, but they go a different way. And
yeah.
You think, well, I didn't know I could get there.
That's my wife.
This way.
Oh my gosh. She'll take me to places and, you know, I'm a lifelong Pittsburgher. She's from South Dakota. I'm like, how did you know how to get here? She's like, oh, I just figured it out. You know,
that's just really, I really love that.
Yeah. How about this? Okay. Now, earlier we were doing this or that. I said driver, passenger, and you said driver. How about when you are a passenger, though? Isn't it nice to see? You see different things as a passenger that you don't see as a driver.
I have a hard time.
Do you? I have a hard time, too.
I want to be driving.
Me too.
You want to be driving too.
Always. 100%.
I know you. Anyway. Crying out loud.
Hey, thanks for being with us. We greatly appreciate your time here with us. Don't take it for granted. Being part of the broadcast family of The Ride Home. Check us out on Facebook and wordfm.com. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.